This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks. More than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Drew. Hey, everybody, our friends at GoToMeeting. Obviously, people, when you're in business or work, or for that matter, even when you're working on projects at school, wherever you are, you need to be able to meet with the people with whom you share plans and build projects. And now you can use GoToMeeting by Citrix. We use it all the time here. It's obviously a favorite. You've heard us talk about it before. It's simple, and it's a way to meet online and collaborate online. GoToMeeting with HG Faces gives your team the ability to share the same screen. That's right. So you have a high-definition video conference. You see everybody, and you get to work on one another's documents. Turn the webcam into a meeting. See each other face-to-face. It's just like meeting in person. You can launch from anywhere using computer, smartphone, tablet, even from your iPad if you want. Obviously, every time we have a meeting here, we don't get together face-to-face. We use GoToMeeting. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. And for this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Dr. Drew, D-R-E-D-R-E-W. Remember, use that code and you get to try it for free. I mean, why not? That's silly. Come on, let's do this. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
This is Corolla Digital.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and I just want to thank you for joining the Dr. Drew podcast and supporting the Corolla pirate ship here at the Corolla Network. And please, just a reminder, tell a friend about these podcasts. That is how this thing grows organically, and that is how we want this to grow. We want it to be a community of people that connect, and we talk about interesting things. And by the way, feel free to give us feedback and stuff, particularly for my show, that you'd like to hear. We'll be happy to set it up on the program. And again, tell a friend and keep this pirate ship afloat. Welcome to the Dr. Drew podcast. Welcoming at popular demand, I tell you. I've been having some repeat performers in here. And
my name's Pete.
Yeah, well, listen, Adam and I were in Carmel last week, and for some reason, you and Chris came up in the conversation we have from the stage, and they were like, "All right, Ray, I said, you want him back? Yes, get him back. So it's like, Gary very kindly got you back. I appreciate you coming in.
No problem.
Ray Oldhofer, co-host, Ace on the House, new episodes every Saturday. The website is aceontheroof.com. Your Twitter is just your name strung together, or is there any dots or underscores?
We'll have to ask Gary. Is it on the board?
It's just his name, at Ray Oldhofer, O-L-D-H-A-F-E-R.
Okay, very good.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, so Ray.
That's my boy.
Couple things. Where do I start with you? How is it working with Adam on the House?
Is he still here?
Can he hear this?
It's hit and miss.
Can he hear this? Hold on. He's turning it off out there. In what way?
Well, I mean, it depends which Adam's up. I mean, sometimes it's domination station where he'll get on a roll, you know, and there won't be any kind of give and take.
Well, hold on a second. He talks too much?
Huh?
I'm confused.
No, sometimes it's like that, but for the most part of late, I have to say it's been, you know, a fair amount of banding about. So it's been pretty good of late. You know, but it takes a while to get there.
Now, he –
but by the way, I don't want to talk about Adam.
Well, people want you to.
Why?
That's what they like.
Really?
Well, I'll talk about you too. Don't worry. But they because you have – you know, he's got a dedicated fan base, and you have a – he brings you up all the time, you and Chris. And so you guys, A, need to come to life for them. And
true.
B, you have a perspective on him that's sort of unique because you grew up with him.
Yeah, I've seen him naked and stuff like that. Too.
Well, it's even changed my understanding of him. The fact that you guys, both you and Chris, admitted that he's sort of like Sonny is now. Like he was a nice kid.
Like a sweet
kid. And you guys just destroyed him, basically.
No, we didn't destroy him. His parents did that before we ever got to him. Come on.
Well, you helped.
As far as what? Abuse?
Throwing shit in his ear and, you know, taking
well, listen, a dump. Listen, that's a two-way street. It's not like he didn't participate in these activities.
Well, he was retaliating.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's shit for shit.
Did he shit on you?
Of course he has.
What?
I mean, listen.
So he never talks about that part.
Yeah,
I never get to hear that
piece.
So
there's never this thing of, first of all, when people, like for instance, when Adam got the Man Show.
Yeah.
Big, huge deal. So proud of him. All that kind of stuff. Go and visit him. You're walking down the hallway, you know, meeting the writers. They all have this image of you because, you know, they're all telling stories of high school, junior high, and whatever their upbringing was. And, you know, so
they're sharing each other's stories.
Right. And so, and who's going to beat our stories?
Nobody.
Literally and figuratively.
Nobody.
Nobody. And so they meet you, and now Adam has this habit of leaving himself out of the equation, and they meet you. And they think, okay, he must not be capable of speech. He's going to do something weird to me. I have to stand at, you know, 9 feet length here and talk to him through, a megaphone because something might happen.
Well, so it's not too far from the truth,
Ray. It's a little bit of a misinterpretation.
Ray, but in fairness, we had a Cinco de Mangria party back on Cinco de Mayo. And at a certain point, you were wrestling with three fans in the middle of the grass like a Greco-Roman wrestler. And
dating one.
Right. Okay. But I'm just saying, like, you said that people have this expectation that you're going to do something physical or crazy or whatever.
But wait a minute. I'm wrestling with the fans, but it's all fun and frolic. It's not like I hurt anyone.
No, not at all. But you're trying to play it off.
What are you getting at?
You made it sound like people expect you to do something crazy and you don't. You always do. You don't disappoint.
I beg to differ. Have I ever done anything weird to you, Drew?
Many
times. The breathing game or anything?
Many times.
Never. I never lay
many
hands
times
on you.
Have done grabbed my arm and done some twisted in some way that was hurtful. Yeah, just typically. It's
you know,
all right.
I better become more self-aware. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. You do something hurtful. It's all right.
But anyway, so that's kind of the stigma that stays.
Not that shocking.
All right.
Ray was really nice to me. He did the breathing game to me, but right before I passed out, he looked at me and said, "You know, if I keep going, you're going to pass out, right?" And I just nodded. He's like, "Okay," and he let me go.
See. That's compassion right there, baby.
Thank you.
Nothing but kindness.
So Adam keeps complaining about...
No,
listen. This is something pertinent to you, and I want to hear your point of view on this.
About what?
That he wanted you to participate with him in the profits of On the House, but you insisted on payment per podcast.
No, that's not fair. That's not fair.
Isn't that what he says? Okay, that's why I wanted to hear
that. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Okay, my interpretation is this.
And just so you know, let me frame it all the way up.
Go ahead.
Therefore.
Now I get nothing kind of thing.
Not only do you get nothing, you're not listening to his genius guidance, and you're not going to succeed in life because he has the keys to the universe, and you need to really just
isn't that Adam's MO with everybody on everything?
Everyone listen to me.
Right.
Right.
So this is just another one of his characters
that he's
full blown into. Go ask Adam on another day and it's going to be something else, right? Just like you, just like me.
Well, he'll complain about something else, but this story has not changed. It's been very consistent. I've heard it several times. And he's not usually wrong, right? There's always
right, but it's his interpretation. Now you want to hear my interpretation?
Yes, I want to hear your version.
So my version of it is this. I work. I work every day.
Yeah.
I have guys who work for me.
Yeah.
For me to pull off my job, come here, do this, is, you know, essentially my money that I'm losing.
You're right. Time away from work.
Right. And gas and everything else. Right. I wanted a small stipend of compensation. Tiny versus the whole broad spectrum of whatever. Mind you, I don't know I'm not privy to any of those numbers.
No, mind you, he was giving you an either or choice.
No. There was no either or. There was no nothing like that. There was nothing stipulated like that. He always has the same spiel of, hey, build it and it will come. You know, jump on board, then, you know, we divvy it out later. You'll get all that kind of stuff.
Right. He's not wrong.
No, I'm not saying he's wrong. And I'm not saying he's not of his word either. He is. You know, but so this became a bone of contention, and he thought I more or less jumped ship and said, fuck it. You know, I want my measly $75 per show. That's what I get. Now, in the interim, we're 5,000 shows in.
Right.
You know, whatever. We're not. We're about 100 shows in from me.
Right.
But have I received any payment from the show? No. Do I refuse the payment because I saw his way and not mine? I think there's two stories there. I think they should somehow meld in the middle at some level. And then at another level, you know, if we are making money, which I don't really know what the numbers are, again, there should be some kind of percentage breakdown. Something fair.
I think he was giving you an either-or choice.
No, things change.
You guys ought to talk about that. Because I think
– When's the last time you talked to Adam?
About this?
No, about anything. Where you talked to him and you didn't listen and it was just his way.
I didn't listen?
No. He didn't listen. It was just him talking over you, making his statement.
When was the last time that happened? 20 minutes.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying you don't have an exchange.
But what I heard him say was that he either wanted you to be paid per episode or zero until this profit and then split the profit. And if you guys didn't have that conversation, that's going to cause trouble, it seems to me.
Well,
call me crazy.
Listen, what hasn't – you know, between him and I, what hasn't – I mean, listen, okay, he was my – here's the thing. He was my – all during youth, he's my whipping boy, essentially, Chris and I, right?
Is that right?
Well, you know, I mean, we were both stronger and faster than him and, you know, picked on him a little – you know, I mean, you're kids. Kids will be kids. Was Adam a little bit of the sacrifice at times? Sure. But was he our buddy and would we do anything for him? Absolutely.
Would he team up with one of you on the other occasionally?
Sure. It would go flip-flop. Okay. Absolutely. Right, those two got me severely bad when I had a moped.
What happened?
Well, I crashed and they stood over me and did bad things to me.
Urinated?
No.
Crap?
Nothing like that. No, we were children. You know,
what
lesson to be
things?
Learned, maybe a little spitting, stuff like that. You know, tame. Anyway, but so... For the last, what is he now? He's approaching 50, right? So for the last, you know, however many years, most of my life, it's been reverse role. That's what you get. You know, it's payback.
He's paying you back.
I don't think he's conscious of it, though. I don't think so. I mean, I think subconsciously he pays me back at some level. And mind you, I've been pro his whole career. There's never a time where I've gone, you know, there's no fight there. Are you kidding? It's nothing but kudos.
But he also feels like he's gaffing you on board, carrying you along with him.
What? Oh, really?
Doesn't he?
Does he feel like he's carrying me with him?
No, allowing
and,
you
and
to.
And what? In what aspect?
Gaffing you on board.
Yeah,
got to be
no,
on the
literally gaffing me on board, like with a fucking hook in my ear, right?
There's Ace on the House. There's the reality show what, you guys did.
Okay, what's in it for me?
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Nothing.
Why not?
I mean, you might have some cachet where somebody out of, you know, a Mexican dude at Home Depot recognizes you.
Well, what if he said –
Fantastic.
What if he were to say, well, Ray, it's up to you to
– But that's what he always says.
To capitalize, turn this into something.
Right. So –
Is he wrong?
I'm sure it could go, you know, 10 ways from Sunday. But I'm sure if I brought – now, Adam's told me, you know, bring in this, bring in that, bring some stories –
Means the Ace on the House.
Right. Or no, even when I did the radio show with him. So I would bring,
mean
you know,
the morning show.
Right.
Yeah.
I would do the radio show once a week and he'd go like, you know, bring some stories. So I'd bring 10, 12 stories. He'd read them all over. He'd go, nope. What about this one though? And I'd go, all right. You know, so you're prepped out for whatever stories. I mean, there's two sides of the story again. So now you're not prepared. Now you might stumble a little bit, and Adam's got the mic in front of his face for how long now, and he's going to just be spontaneous. So where do you interject with not one of the top 15 stories that you had already written down?
Well, if I could – I will
– What, are you going to shed some light here?
No, I'll share with you that I get to the object of something very similar. Like when we go out on the road and do stuff.
Oh, I've seen you do this, and I crack up.
So I
love this.
Well, so I'll come, you saw it in Redondo or something, but I'll come in prepared with some stuff. And first he'll complain I'm not prepared.
Right.
So now I'll come in prepared. He'll have none of it.
Right. No. I mean, in fact, it'll be shut down and he'll do as I am doing right now. Go
right.
ahead. You can try and interject if you want.
Right.
Anyway, Drew, so.
Right.
And you're not going to get a word out. And then he'll tell you he's carrying your jock.
Exactly.
And then you just look at him and go, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Cannot win.
No, but it's all right. I mean, he's got compassion and he's a good egg. I love him. I do. Now ask me if I like him. No.
How'd you guys meet?
I think we met through a mutual friend, which was his neighbor at the time. And his neighbor went to – his neighbor was like an IHP.
What's that mean?
IHP, individual – I forget. He was really bright, super smart kid. His name was Max. And he was his neighbor. And he went to the same school I did. Adam went to the, you know, the free range school.
Oh, yeah.
So I had met Adam via him.
Mm-hmm.
and then sent me an ad. And I was like the fourth or fifth grade. I think we went to fifth grade together. I got to check the pictures. But I met him before he attended Colfax. And then – and Chris and Adam played football together, youth football. And
that's you didn't play football with them?
No, I was bigger than they were.
So you played
different level. And 1 year older. I did second grade twice when I moved here from Germany with my parents.
So I didn't realize you – I knew your mom was German. I didn't realize you guys moved from Germany.
We got deported.
For what?
You'll have to ask my dad, and he's dead.
And
no, he was like a petty thief and stuff like that. And he got caught.
What? So they deport you for being a
they could have stayed because I was a citizen. Well, he wasn't exactly like, you know, he stole a car and did some other egregious shit.
We don't do that in this country. We just deport. Send this.
Well, he was German.
Raise a fuck up. Let's send him to Germany.
Well, you know, he was a fuck up. And then, you know, I have another brother named Ray, right?
No.
Yeah. I have an old brother.
We called him.
Yeah, I know, but he didn't answer.
Wasn't that this show or was that
no.
Ace on the House?
That was on Ace on the House. So anyway.
I'm willing to do it.
I left my phone in the car. It's charging. Anyway, so Ray.
One of these guys can go get it.
Go get my phone. Here's my keys. So I called him up.
What?
And he said, no, I don't think we have the same father. My father was a criminal. And I go, no shit. It's around the corner. And I go, so is mine. And then he said that he had a wanted poster of my dad, which was kind of bizarre.
Did you see it?
No. I asked him to. You know, I've called him a few times.
Where does he live?
That kind of thing. In New Jersey.
And how much older is he?
7 years.
And did he come with you? Did he stay in Germany?
No. I don't know. My dad was, fun and frolic. My dad, I think he had a few different families. I'm not really sure. My dad was like Mexican before there were Mexicans.
In Germany?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know.
Was he in the war? Did he fight in the war?
No. He was a brown shirt, which is like Hitler Youth. Yeah. You know, he wasn't old enough to fight. And then what else did he do? I mean, he did some pretty – he was a strange cat. And then I found out when I was a teenager that supposedly I had a brother named Ray.
And what's with the Ray stuff?
I don't know. That's what I was trying to get to. So I'd ask him. I go, okay, can you tell me about
– You'd ask your dad?
Yeah. I would ask my father. I was about 18, 19. I go, can you tell me about this other Ray? He goes, there's nothing to tell. I go, really? How's that?
And what do you say?
You know, but my dad was a little bit afraid of me when I was a kid, you know, when I was 18, 19. He was 5'9", you know, kind of skinny, that kind of thing. I was 6'2", 220 at that time. And I wasn't known for being the most stable sort of kid. So, you know, I'd interrogate him a little bit, but he wouldn't give up the ghost. He just couldn't do that. You know, my dad had a big time underground, you know, more or less secret life.
Here?
Yeah, everywhere he went. I mean, that was his MO. You know, he wasn't conscious of it. You know, he could never bring it to light. But, you know, if an ambulance drove by, he'd get in the car and go, you know, look for the ambulance, that kind
just
of crap.
Just look for trouble.
Look for some diversion. You know, he wasn't a relaxed guy.
What did he do for a living?
He made false teeth. He was like a dental technician.
Is that what he did in Germany?
His father was a dentist. His father was, you know, quite successful. He was not.
And he became a criminal.
Well, he wasn't a criminal per se. I mean, he did.
He was deported?
Well, yeah, but he, you know, stole rent monies and things like that, and they finally caught up.
I understand this deportation thing. It doesn't make any sense.
They send you to another country, Drew.
Yeah, but Australia.
No, they send you back to Germany. That's where you're originally from.
Well, he was deported from here?
Yeah!
When?
68? Nine?
Wait, I'm very, 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 very confused.
Where did you think they – how did you not put that together?
No, I thought you said deportation from Germany.
No, we got deported to Germany.
When you were how old?
Six.
For how long?
Like 9 months, 6 months to 9 months.
How did you
– My mom sold her property there. My mom had some parcels of land.
She was German too?
Yeah.
So why'd they come
she didn't sell them actually. What's that?
Why'd they come here in the first place?
It's the land of opportunity.
Post-World War II kind of stuff.
Well, no, this was 60 – wait, I was born in 63, so my mom had already been here from like 59.
So they didn't come together. They came separately.
No, they met in New York. That's where they had met.
In a German community.
No. Not in a German community, no. My father really didn't have an accent, even though he was German. But my mother did. What the fuck, Ray?
She would say that?
Oh, yeah. She was fantastic.
And did she work?
Yeah. She, like, well, she raised us. There were four boys.
Yeah. And Ray.
No, four total. Rob, Ray, Ron, Rich. Yeah.
And where'd the other Ray go?
I don't know where he went. I mean, I just found out of late that he's in New Jersey.
Did you? And, you know, and how'd you find out about it in the first place?
My little brother is one of those kids who's on Facebook and all that kind of stuff the time. Well, he's not a kid. He's, you know, anyway, that's a different story. But so he calls me up. You know, he called me a few different times. Hey, you know, you got this brother. Da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, hey, Rich, you got the brother too, man. It's not like just me. You know, why is it only me that has a brother and not you? Well, you know, his name's Ray and da-da-da-da. And he wants to talk to you. I go, really? I go, give me his number. I'll call him. I go, you want to talk to him? He goes, no. You know, and I asked my older brother, you want to, you know, talk to this guy? And they all said no. And I go, why not? What's the big deal? You know, I mean, he's related. And then I found out I have a bunch of other relations out there.
Out in Jersey?
Jersey and some in California. You know, there's two other brothers that got taken away by, you know, the state, via my father.
Your mom and dad or a different
It's a different mom, dude. Come on.
I'm asking.
Yeah, different mom. Different mom who's still alive and collects my father's Social Security.
That's crazy.
I know, isn't that weird?
Have you called them?
The mom?
Those siblings, those half-brothers?
They don't know where they are. They got warded by – they got, like, taken by the state. Some Ooh. Story like that.
Shit.
You know, so – but I did talk to Ray, my half-brother.
Yeah.
And, you know, he seemed all right. And then I talked to him a few different times. And then he said – then he did a weird thing to me. He said, you know what? I know who you are. You know, but he didn't say it from the get-go. You know, he said it like after three or four conversations with him. And you know,
you mean you didn't announce, you didn't describe who you were to him?
Well, I told him, yeah, I'm Ray Oldhoffer. I live in, you know, Los Angeles. I didn't know there was, you know, that kind of thing. But he knew via Adam who I was and this kind of stuff and that kind of stuff.
I see.
So he knew who I was. And that kind of like, I go, why didn't you just tell me that from the get-go? You know, instead of like keeping it under wraps, that was kind of weird.
Like your dad.
Yeah.
What are your brothers
doing? Chip off the old block.
What are your brothers doing now?
Which one? All of them?
Each of them.
One. I have an Amerasian nephew, and he's with my older brother. His name's Kyle, and they're in Hawaii right now because my brother married a woman. And her daughter is attending the University of Hawaii. So they're there right now with the whole family.
Why?
Because she's going to college.
Yeah, I don't move into where my kids are in college.
Well, they're seeing her off and saying
Oh, they're goodbye. Visiting.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're
not
living in Hawaii.
No, they're not living there. They're there for 2 weeks.
Strange way of thinking, Ray. I've never really noticed that.
No, they're – okay, just hear me out.
I am. I'm listening very
carefully. All right, so they're there. They come back Sunday. Yesterday was my older brother's birthday. That's why. So I called him, and he's over there. They're coming back Sunday. And then my two younger brothers.
I mean, like, what are your brothers doing? What do they do with their lives? What are they?
My older brother.
Where are they vacationing right now?
My older brother's he's a salesman for NC machines, which are numerical control machines.
Right.
He owns a couple of apartments and is pretty successful.
You ever worked for him?
Would I work for my brother? Yeah. No way.
Okay.
No. And then my little brother runs a forklift company named Heister.
Nice.
That's the second to youngest. And then my youngest brother is a house husband.
So he's got it figured out.
He's got the best deal. He's got the best deal.
So you have a bunch of nieces and
nephews. He opens up his butt pussy is just fucking on mark.
And they all stayed out here?
We all live within, I mean, if we had to get together, we could in, you know, an hour.
And did you all live in, it was a pretty small situation growing up, right?
My older brother and I shared a room. My two little brothers shared a room.
Was it an apartment?
It was, well, yeah, it was like a duplex.
Duplex. Triplex. Because that's sort of the way Adam described it.
Yeah, yeah. And then,
did we just beat the shit out of everybody? That was you?
No, no. My older brother used to beat the shit out of me until he couldn't any longer, you know, until I was bigger, stronger, and faster. But he always had it over me emotionally and psychologically.
Is that where some of that came from for you?
Some of what?
The physicalizing everything?
Well, I think out of protection, yeah. You know, when you look back on
it. That's what trickled down onto Adam and Chris.
Well, and the world at large, sure. You know, I mean, that's the only way you knew. And there wasn't any real negotiation or, you know, conversation in our family. It's not like, hey, let's sit down and work this out. You know, hey, you're not allowed to. Their boundaries weren't really available.
Right.
You know, especially when you figured out when you were, you know, 8 that your parents couldn't help you with homework. You know, that you were essentially brighter than they were, or they didn't understand because English was their second language. I mean, my dad was, you know, running around anyway, and my mother was actually quite bright but had, you know, super low self-esteem.
What do you mean your dad was running around?
He was just, you know, literally running around. You know, hey, there's an ambulance. I got to go. Hey, I'm going to go visit this friend, that kind of thing, you know. I mean, he would take me to football practice when I played football as a child in Pop Warner, and, you know, the fathers would hang out and watch the kids practice. My dad would drop me off and then, you know, do whatever the fuck he was doing.
And that's where all the other kids came from, whatever he was
probably
doing.
Probably at some level, yeah. But I don't think he really philandered. Well, I'm sure he did with my mom. But it wasn't really I would have sensed it if he had something going on the side, which maybe I wouldn't have. But in my teenage years, I would have. Mm. You know, so he didn't, you know, he kind of settled down. But he had no center. You know, the guy was just like he was all over the place. You know, but not a drinker, did smoke, you know. So he had a couple of heart attacks, and he told me he came over to visit me. He had a couple of heart attacks, and he was looking at me and goes, yeah, you know, I quit smoking. And I go, that's good, as he was smoking in front of me.
What?
Yeah. He'd say, yeah, I quit. I go, Dad, you just smoked fucking 3 Capris. I go, how does that equate to quit smoking? Yeah.
What did he say?
That's what he would do. Then he wouldn't say anything. You know, then he would just be like, well, you know, I had, you know, 5 days before. Well, then why are you smoking that? You just
did he die of heart disease? Is that what happened?
He had a heart attack, yeah.
Heart disease.
He had 3. After he had number 2, I looked at my brothers and I go, you guys, he's got like, you know, a year. Maybe. He was super high strung and, you know, fidgety and all that kind of thing.
And so you decided that it's a probably smart idea then for you to take up cigarettes.
Oh, absolutely.
Have you had a coronary calcium screen or treadmill or anything?
No, I'm in fine shape.
That's
I don't need
bullshit.
Any of that. You want to bet I pass with flying colors?
How long you been smoking?
I quit.
That wasn't what I asked.
How long did I smoke or have I smoked consistently? 30 years.
How many packs a day?
Would vary.
On average?
2? 1.5?
Guarantee you have heart disease.
All right, let's bet.
Guarantee it.
I'll take any fucking test. Now, let's get some odds.
Some odds?
Yeah.
What do you mean odds?
Let's bet on this.
Yeah, let's just take a $10 bet.
All right.
There you go.
That's it?
$10.
Shouldn't we go like 100 to 1?
No.
All right. What do I have to do? Like get on a treadmill and they hold my nose? Capacity?
Probably have to get a coronary calcium screen. That's probably the best way to do it.
And what is that? They take blood and see how much calcification
you
have?
No, it's like a CAT scan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let's go. I'll do it.
All right. We should do that.
I'll be fine.
How do you know?
Because I've had a multitude of surgeries, you know, my shoulders and my hands and all that kind of stuff.
When was your last surgery?
Like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I always pass.
They did treadmills before that?
No, I've never been on a treadmill.
Yeah,
but I did have a spike in my heart.
Yeah.
And the cardiologist always has to come in and look at you and then does some tests. And he goes, no, look at this guy. He's fine.
Okay. You know? So you'll have something.
I won't have anything.
Why do you have to see a cardiologist?
Because I have this.
Yeah, you have something in your heart.
No, so. I've had it since I was a little kid.
All right. Okay. You have an extra beat.
Such a thing?
Extra systole? Sure, yeah. But there's all kinds of versions of that. So, you know.
I have the healthy one.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. All right. Are we going to call Ray? Ray Sr.? Ray too? Ray, yeah, what do you call this guy?
Did you look in my
Do phone? I have to take a break or read any commercials or anything? Are we all I have to take a break. All right. Let's take a quick break. Back with Ray Oldhoffer, the co-host.
And Ray's brother.
Ace on the house. Ace
on the you know what I put him under in my phone?
What?
I put him under Other Ray.
Good?
Yeah.
It's good. The other Ray, which is Ray's half-brother.
Well, hold on. We might not get a hold of him. He's probably
We're going to take a break, and we'll see about coming back with Ray number two. Be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook. God, the way they offer this free stuff is just unreal. It's a free audiobook, give you a chance to try out their service, and their service is good. Think about getting Fred Stoller's book, Maybe We'll Have You Back. If you remember when he was a guest, he's a favorite on this podcast, he was hawking his book. It's funny. It's about always being a guest star and never being the star, and he has some sort of really cool behind the scenes stories. And listen, any audiobook to consider. I like reading classics. Look at Moby Dick and catch up on stuff that you've never had a chance to read. Just download the book. Listen to it in your free time. It's important you do this, not just to educate yourself, but enrich your soul. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Drew. Again, that is audiblepodcast.com/Drew.
How do we even do this?
Welcome back, Dr. Podcast. I'm here with Ray Oldhoffer. And by the way, Chris Maxipata.
Nice moniker.
People have mixed opinions about our music. It's become polarizing. All
Everyone
of a
has different tastes these it's days, crazy. But we are coming out with a different album, a little loungier.
All right,
and
we'll see.
A lot more songs.
I think it's kind of cool. People say it's too loud too when we open to the show.
So is it Lionel Hampton? It's you got the vibes going on.
That's right. It's that kind of feel. All right, so Ray Oldhoffer, we're going to go to – what's he doing? Wait, we don't want you to call. We want Gary to call.
Okay, yeah. You got it. Here, you guys can call it. Go ahead.
Go ahead. All
right, we're calling Ray.
We're calling Ray, too. Why? You got an answering machine or something?
Yeah, but it's really funny. Put it on so we can hear it.
Ray, this is Ray's half-brother that you found out about when you were how old?
I was a teenager when I found out.
How'd you find out?
Via mom.
She just splurted it out one day. You know, you have another brother named Ray.
Well, there was a whole, all the skeletons, because their marriage was falling apart,
Yeah.
So all the skeletons were falling out of the closet, like how my mother, put up her property as collateral to get us back here to the States, And then what happened with her brother, my uncle.
What happened?
Well, he kind of absconded her property. Now, my mother is one of those people who can really hold a grudge and did until she passed away with him, my uncle Bent. So anyway, and then I have another uncle named Fritz. All of my living blood relatives, well, that's not true anymore, but all of my living blood relatives all live in Germany.
Oh, wow.
So,
did you ever go visit him?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Hold on.
Here's Brother Ray.
This is him.
This will be Ray. Come on, that Ray, pick up.
I know. I think he's...
He's busy?
But here's what's funny. This is really weird.
Because it sounds like you?
No. Fuck no.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Raymond Oldhoffer.
is not available. At the tone, please record your message.
All right. We tried.
Hey, Ray. It's Ray. What's happening? Oh, wow.
Doesn't sound like you at all.
No, he doesn't. But that's all right, right? I mean, I don't think he's supposed to.
No. Let's take some calls. I also want to talk about...
Is there another Dr. Drew out there?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Have you asked your dad?
My dad's not around anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but not that I'm aware of. I want to talk about the work you're doing with Adam's dad. And are you still seeing him?
I doubled up. Jim Adams' father, went through
some brain surgery.
Literal and figurative hell, yeah.
Yeah.
So he was, I went to the hospital, visited. So anyway, I moved him out of his office, which was on Sepulveda and Ventura. I took my guys and, I met him and his wife there. We moved him out of the office, and I've been seeing him at his home now since he's able to see some people, and I've been seeing him twice a week. I'm doubling down right now.
Did you have a relationship with him when you guys were kids?
Not really, because Adam didn't live with him. Adam lived with his mother for the most part. And then later on lived with his father when we were already in high school.
And you didn't really?
No, we didn't do much hanging out.
It's so strange to me that the one sort of adult that gets left out of Adam's stories is Jim's,
Jim?
No, Jim, he gets tons of abuse.
Yeah, he gets browbeat, right?
Yeah, but it's Jim's new wife, Adam's stepmom. Never involved in the stories.
There was a lot of stories in youth and, you know, a lot of
Well, she seemed like she was no nonsense. She seemed like the step siblings were all cool.
They were, you know. Yeah. There was only one, I believe, was his stepsister.
Right.
And then, you know, and she's cool. She's great. Jim's great, you know. I mean, when you talk to Adam, I mean, he's going to go back to whatever shortcomings he got dealt.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Only.
He's not going to. And he's gonna concentrate on that. Oh, that's part of his comedy.
Well,
if that's what you want to call it.
I think it's pathology too.
It's pathology, yeah. Psychology. It's all that stuff. But when Adam's here's the thing. When Adam's in a mode where he's soft, you know, we can all have. You know, it's more or less a caricature that's stating this kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really a true entity.
What he says about his dad?
Yeah.
He says terrible stuff.
I know he does, but it's funny. It's, you know, it's got a weird angle to it. It's got an energy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, hey, man, fuck you, and here's why, and whatever.
The fuck you of the early childhood stuff, but also more recently with the leasing of the cars and all that. He keeps going.
I know,
and,
but it's
and
just
the podcast kicked him off of.
Right, but
he
that's
did
just
that.
More. Listen, I did the podcast with him. What are you talking about? I did it with Jim.
I understand. You guys were kicked off the air.
I know. Because, you know, there's a whole hierarchy now. I mean, now Adam's top of the food chain, right?
He's the employer.
Right. So now you kowtow and, you know, just listen to me. All of his stuff that he has been saying for umpteen years has come to fruition. So he's untouchable at some level.
You're resentful of that?
Sometimes. I mean, the way he behaves, yeah. Absolutely. Sometimes I think he's a fucking big douche. But for the most part, I love him, and am I going to be in his corner through thick and thin? Yeah.
What's the latest douchey thing he's done?
Oh, that's like a daily thing.
Did today happen?
No, today he was nice. He was kind. You know, sometimes he doesn't make eye contact. You know that.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's really weird when you're looking at a dude that you've known since 8 and he won't fucking talk to you. It's like, what's wrong with you? It's like such a fucking disconnect. Yeah, it's resentful get angry.
Well, no, that's his.
I know,
whatever.
But what the fuck is that?
Well, did you know, he do I mean, that are when you he was that? 8?
No.
Really?
Are you that protected?
I always thought it was a little Asperger's.
No. I don't. You know what? He might have some mild. No, he doesn't have Asperger's. What he has is cultivated himself into his own caricature. You know what I mean? I mean, the time he's the most fluid and most copacetic, and when you can have a conversation with him, it's going to be on air. It's not going to be outside of here. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
And that's fucking weird. That's weird. I mean, I remember I went to him with a show. I went to a show with him. We went to some fucking window factory, you know? And he was a guest and all that kind of stuff. We go and do the tour and all that. We were driving home. And he tells me how – and I was like – I was already 40 or something like that. And he tells me how disappointed he is in me because I could have played football.
Like professionally?
Well, or went to college for football or what – you know, mind you, what was my GPA? My parents were
– Mind you, you may not have wanted to do that, but go ahead.
No, I loved the sport and I loved football, but that was my escape, you know?
Yeah.
So he sat there. And I'm telling you, for 10 minutes, he was going, you know, listen, you guys, meaning Chris and I, you two had talent. You know, you guys were just natural athletes. You were naturally stronger than anybody else. Listen, you benched 300 pounds in, you know, ninth grade. What the fuck were you guys think? And I'm looking at him going, what the fuck are you talking about? I was fucking 13. What are you talking about, you know? But he's pissed. He's like mad at you for not taking advantage of whatever your talent is. And then, you know, he won't let that go kind of. So now you can't have an arc to him. Like, how do you get away from that and get in present day and have a relationship? So it's kind of set up where you're going to be at arm's length, which I get.
Except when you're on the air, you get to connect.
More so than
I always thought that's just because he's tired. He's just so much performing that he's just tired. You know.
Yeah, but listen, we're all – I mean, who's not busy?
Yeah.
Who's not – you know, when I see you, you know, I see you occasionally. I see you outside of this or wherever I might see you.
Yeah.
You always have attention for me. We talk.
I'm sort of the same, though, off the air as on. You know what I mean? He's different.
Yeah.
He's different in different
ways. But you're always going to talk to me. You're going to go, hey, Ray, and you're going to look me in the eye and go, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
If the phone rings, you might look at it and go, I'll call them back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's not the, you know, but it's different, and that's all right. But I don't have, you know, I didn't know you since I was, you know, child.
And why are you doubling down with Jim?
I need it. You know, I need to get myself to a different place. And it's important work for me. It's the most important work that I do.
Of course.
Yeah.
And where is it you're trying to get?
Just, you know, a deeper truth and clarity. You know, I mean, I've been fooling myself for a multitude of years with different characters I have, you know. And I got to get through that. And it's a tough thing to get through.
Sense of yourself you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. You know.
And then you've never been married, right?
Huh? No, I've never been married.
Is that something you want to do eventually?
Yeah, I would love to.
What are you waiting for?
Maybe she's not born yet. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
Is that part of the issue?
What? That she's not born?
With Jim, you're trying to get to the point where you can't have that kind of relationship?
Well, I mean, I think the relationship is secondary to having yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not – no, it's not like – hey, let's talk about relationship and getting in one. It's never like that.
No, I understand that. But that can be a goal.
It's a byproduct.
Yeah, but
it can
be a goal. Like I notice I can't be intimate with somebody and I sure would like to be able to do that.
Well,
someday.
I mean, I can be intimate to a certain extent or level and then I back away or I don't face my own crap.
But say
like that. Or I'm charming at a certain degree. But then when push comes to shove and, you know, to put this up to the next level, I'm fucking chasing my tail or doing a song and dance. You know what I mean?
Put articulate for people what you just said, though, about – because I think people think therapy is like, well, okay, I want to have a relationship. Therefore, let's talk about what it means to have a relationship. And that's not the furthest thing from the truth. Yeah. So describe what it is for you.
It's more getting in tune with, you know, your patterns and behaviors and seeing, you know, what you do and how you do it and like who's in charge at that moment. Like we all have these personas we're running around with, but they don't know each other. A lot of them don't know each other. So, you know, when it comes time to this, you have an associative thought with that, and then you wind up going down the same route that you went down, and you're not even conscious of it. You're not awake. So it's more or less waking up to yourself. But that's a fucking hard thing to do.
I understand.
It's not easy.
And for me in therapy, it was about accessing feelings.
Well, it still is. I mean, you feel like, you know, talking to a piece of steel.
What do you
just
mean?
Just kidding.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I think it was, Adam describes it as a cigar store Indian. Wood.
Who, you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, you're quite soft and you're quite affable. You're sweet.
That's very nice. But in terms of knowing oneself, you're describing kind of a semi-cognitive process. For me, it was much more about accessing feelings in every moment.
Well, yeah, but you put your emotional, like you got a somatic self, a body self, which you're obviously very into your body self because you're into that weightlifting and all that. But what you did with the body thing, you overcompensated for the emotional thing and you put the emotional thing on, you know, hideout. And now you got to go hit the emotional thing. So start crying, bitch.
Let's take some calls. This is
ooh, what's the matter, Drew? You didn't like hearing that, did you?
No, it's not about that's
oh, shoe on the other foot with Drew.
No, it's about not about crying. It's about
getting in touch.
Yeah, in the moment, being able to go, I'm feeling
all right.
Fill in the blank.
Okay.
I couldn't do that very
well.
And then
the crying part comes right after that, right? Don't fucking lie.
Sometimes not.
I will
not right
shoot
now.
You with this pencil. Well, not right now because we're you know having fun with it. And then the intellectual part of you, per se, because you are a doctor.
That gets in the way.
Totally in the way.
Yeah.
And then you're not even aware of your body or emotional right. stuff, and you're just running around like a fucking chicken.
Absolutely. 100%. Kelly, what's going on?
I am fucking good. I know. You know.
You've worked out for long. Kelly.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hi, Kelly. What's up?
I was just calling because I have I have an addict in my life, and we've been in an on and off relationship for 10 years now. And he goes in and out of jail, and lately, when he's been in jail, they've sent him to like intensive drug treatment programs while he's in jail.
Great.
But then he'll get out, and he still ends up using.
What's his drug of choice?
He lately has been going to the like crack cocaine.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah. and he's been doing that since for the past like 7 years. He used to smoke pot, but then he switched up. So.
You guys have any children?
Yeah, we do. We have a 7-year-old.
Jeez.
Boy or girl?
A boy.
Oh, boy.
So my question, I mean, I have a ton of questions, but my like main one was this time the program he's in is it's 12-step based. It's just in the county jail, but
hey, you know what? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What program are you in?
I've done Al-Anon. I'm not as committed to it as I was when I first started it.
Okay. Did it help?
I don't know. It helped a little bit, but then I started dealing with depression, and I couldn't, like, I lost interest in everything, and that was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I did work a good program for about 2 years, and then it's been sporadic ever since.
Now, you said you worked a good program, and then you were sort of unclear as to whether it helped.
Yeah.
Why? Because you didn't want to face the depression kind of thing?
Well, just because I guess like my sponsor at the time kind of made it sound like if I were working a good program, I wouldn't be depressed. Mm. And I hear that a lot from some Al-Anons that aren't really solicited for their advice. But
well, that's not very realistic. I mean, depression is
no, it goes hand in hand with it. You're going to run into that one.
But depression is depression. It's like saying you can't be a diabetic and a codependent. I mean, these things happen. And obviously the stressors and the relationship contributes to the depression, but it's not necessarily the cause per se. All right, so keep going with your questions.
Well, I was just wondering, this time the program that he's in is a 12-step program, and he says he's doing well. He talks about the program, like he's starting to work his 4th step, and I just don't know whether or not to believe him.
You don't believe him, do you?
No, I don't.
I mean, you can tell in your voice you don't believe him. You're not buying it at all.
Well, yeah, because he said he wanted to be sober, like every time he goes to jail.
Yeah, but you don't get into believing.
I think everybody says they want to be sober every time they go to jail.
Yeah, you don't get into believing or not believing. You just listen and go, okay, good. I'm glad. I'm grateful that he's in a program now. And
right.
if he's still sober 2 years from now and working an active program, then I'll begin to have some belief, some hope.
Okay.
But by the way, the biggest neglect here is of your own self. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you've talked about him now for whatever the percentage was, and it's been a 90-10.
But
you got to flip
that
a little bit.
She's mining whatever I've got. She wants to know if I can help, and I agree, though, with Ray, Kelly, that your job is to take care of yourself. That's all you can do. You can't take care of his addiction. But I know you know that because you've worked in Al-Anon program.
Right.
And you got to take care of your child. You got to take care of yourself. And hopefully he'll get sober. But somebody is he in his 30s now?
He just turned 30, yeah.
Yeah, somebody in his 30s with chronic addiction. Usually they have to hit a really serious phase where they believe they're going to die. Freedom, losing one's freedom sometimes is enough to get their attention. Sometimes.
Not for him.
But it has not in his case.
No.
And it also sounds like there's something else going on besides addiction. Like so much interaction with the legal system makes it sound like there may be a real personality problem here.
Yeah.
Right? And
by the way, what's he getting arrested for?
It used to be just getting picked up for like possession and stuff. And then.
So wait a minute. Does he deal and all that kind of stuff?
No. He doesn't deal. He just is in the we live in Houston, so he doesn't, he's not very wise about where he would go to, like, get things.
What's he get picked up for?
He was getting picked up for possession and stuff, but then he got picked up for an aggravated robbery.
Okay, so he's a criminal.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's getting, he's not just an addict. He may also be a criminal. Now, addicts sometimes get into criminal behavior as a feature of their addiction, but this sounds like you may be dealing with something more.
Okay.
And that's really rough sometimes. You know, if somebody has an antisocial personality or sociopathic.
By the way, what did your dad do or something like that? You met this guy when you were like 18, 19?
Yeah.
All right. So how was your home life?
Interestingly enough, it looks fine. I mean, my parents are still together. But my dad, I guess when I was little, used to drink a lot. And my mom told this story. She's told him that if he didn't stop drinking, she'd leave. And so he stopped. So there's kind of like a dry drunk and an Al-Anon that I grew up with.
Was there a lot of aggression in the home?
No, not really. More of like the silent treatment was my mom's.
Kind of passive aggression.
Yeah, it sounds like you're replicating the same exact thing.
You're making it worse even, really.
Yeah. At least you don't have to talk with him. I mean, at least he's locked up.
And Kelly, all we can really do is say, you know, take care of yourself and take care of your child. But there may be more than just addiction going on here, it sounds like. And the fact that there's so much lying, so much criminal behavior. And it's not like he's strung out on heroin robbing somebody to fuel his addiction. He's an addict and involved in criminal behaviors. And that sounds like it's going to take a lot before he changes.
And you know what? If you have another child with him, which I hope you don't, but I hope your first boy's name is Pete, and then you can name the second one Repeat.
That'll make her feel much better, Ray. Thank you. Meg, what's going on? Meg's 50.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Meg.
Hey, I'm a first-time caller to your podcast, but I watch on HLN all the time. And I have a really specific question. I'm wondering if you've ever worked with someone with a dissociative disorder.
Many, 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 many times. But are you asking about dissociative disorder or dissociative identity disorder?
Well, I have DID.
Yeah.
I've had it. I was diagnosed at 26.
Yeah.
And I'm...
Is that like Sybil stuff?
Yeah. It's kind of... Yeah. It used to be called multiple personality, but now it's just so dissociative identity disorder.
Yeah, and Hollywood makes it look way over the top to what it really is.
Right, right.
Everyone I know who has this diagnosis out here is considered high functioning. I've always been high functioning with it.
Good.
But I was just curious because I've never heard you address it, and I would like more of a realistic spin on it than what we get.
All right.
We get, like, crazy split personality.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
trying to kill.
Let me first, though, I've done 3 podcasts that address this issue. One was with Alan Shore. The other was with Stephen Porges. And then what was the comedian's name who dissociated and been
Doug Benson?
Gallagher?
No. Who dissociated and ripped shit off. She was stealing
Klepto?
Stuff.
Claire Title. My mistake.
So I'm going to give you the numbers of these 3 podcasts where we talk about dissociation quite explicitly.
Okay.
And now we don't talk about DID.
Alan Shore was 65.
Alan Shore is episode 65. Claire Title was a recent one.
82, I believe.
82, it sounds like, for Claire Title. She actually had a dissociative sort of episodes, and she'd steal things when she was out of it.
Jesus.
Yeah, she's cute.
Yeah, she's lovely. She's really lovely. Why, you want to...
Could be fun to mess with.
Jesus.
Hey, do you remember when? Nope.
Stephen Porges is 63.
Stephen Porges, episode 63. So those are all at doctor.com. And particularly the Shore one, because Shore is an expert in dissociation. And dissociation is an area of sort of active thought and research these days. Basically, it is a way that you learn to manage overwhelming trauma in childhood, and it becomes a way of managing day in, day out stressors eventually. And so that's, you know, when you have a chronic condition like you have, Meg, and when you're in a dissociated state, differing sort of personality qualities can emerge, right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Absolutely.
And how does yours manifest?
Well, I have definite ages and people that will come out that relate to, as I understand it from 20 years of therapy, relate to periods in my life.
Do you have so access to that at any given time, or is it only unpredictable?
No, it's absolutely unpredictable. I don't have co-consciousness. I never went for integration because I know people who went through it. And to me, it just, this is who I am, and I've kind of learned to live with it.
Mm-hmm. But so one doesn't know the other? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly it.
Sometimes
one doesn't know the other. One takes control. They have however long they're here, and that's whatever happens, happens.
Sometimes there's an executive one in sort of in control.
Oversees the whole thing.
Yeah.
The gatekeeper who doesn't let, you know, who knows everything.
And I'm sure you're very aware, Meg, that this is debated. Does it really exist? Does it not exist?
Right.
I've seen a number of people like you where for it not – and by the way, when the other personalities come out, it's really striking how different they are.
Yeah.
I mean, really crazy.
They'll have different posture and voice and everything else.
Yeah, and you can't – I don't know how you could even learn to, you know, change the languages and stuff like that.
My handwriting changes. My eye color changes. My blood pressure will change. It's been documented at McLean's, like, numerous times. So I know the diagnosis is real, but 90% of the doctors out there think it's a BS diagnosis.
Who's your favorite one? Which one do you like the best?
I don't have a favorite one. I mean, you're getting me, Meg. I mean, this is me right now. How am I supposed to know that?
But Meg,
maybe you should ask my husband who his favorite one
is. That's what I was going
to
say.
Live with them all.
The most challenging part about this is having relationships and finding somebody that can hang in with it. So, how long have you guys been married?
Yeah.
Well, to these seven together, guys, I've been married.
We've been together 20 years.
Wow.
We got married. We've only been married about seven.
What's tough is, Ray, sometimes one of the characters, one of the people is like gay or a drug addict or a sex addict and will go do crazy shit that's destructive to a relationship.
What are you saying that's tough? What do you mean?
For you, it'd be fun because you're not into relationships.
It'd be fun to watch at a certain level.
Well, you'd have fun with me because it'd be a different person like every, I don't know how often.
It's already happened three times with this conversation.
And are you amnestic? Do you forget what's happening when?
Absolutely.
And how often does it happen?
Every day.
Is there any way
multiple times?
Just to give
Meg,
people,
can you bring Barbara back, who was here?
Can we call one out? Can you give us an example of somebody and one that feels safe for you to sort of bring forward?
I don't know if I can call one up. They just sort of come when something threatens or some traumatic memory or something.
Something it triggers it.
Yeah. I had one of those childhoods like Ray's. Like, I was listening to Ray's story going, Jesus, I don't want to get into who had a worse childhood, but oh my God.
I imagine you did. I imagine, because it really takes a lot of trauma to create these kinds of fracturing of how our brains work. Right?
Yeah, I had a lot of, I had every single member of my family except for me was an alcoholic.
And was there the sexual and physical abuse and all
there
that?
There was sexual abuse that we believe by my oldest brother, who is 12 years older than me and has no contact. I have no contact whatsoever with him. But there was all my sister died of cancer. You know, my mother was like a crazy drunk. I was homeless. There was all kinds of like stuff that like would just make you go, oh, my God. But I lived through it, so I always say I'm a survivor.
Well, not only that, I mean, you're laughing about it, but is that?
Yeah, but that laughing part.
I know. No, I know. Yeah. But the surviving is, you know, these residual effects on your brain, these implicit,
Sort of,
and it's great. What do you do for a living?
Well, I worked for 12 years in the specialty food industry. As a retail pricing specialist and a buyer.
Hey, you said you watched the HLN program. For about 5 minutes, I thought Jodi Arias might have DID. That kind of well, you know what I mean? That kind of extreme change in who she's.
Yeah, I thought borderline. Yeah. I really thought borderline she's was Jodi Arias.
Borderline, the borderline stuff. Yeah, I got the borderline.
She's absolutely.
In fact, the you know the psych testing show with borderline. So
wait, did you see that other one? Who? What's her name? The other one? She's Jewish. Just got sentenced today to 5 years.
Oh, Andrea Schneiderman?
Yeah.
She got sentenced.
Today.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
all right.
But hold, did you see her speech that was 3 minutes long?
What'd she say?
Yeah.
Oh, she
She said she had nothing to do with it, but it was totally disingenuous. Like, she was not present.
Only if, but only if you heard the audio is incredible. But when teamed up with the visual, there's not a fucking tear.
Yeah.
This chick is oh, my gosh. Yeah. She's incredible.
She's not, Dr. Drew, she's not
she's Meryl Streep is what she is.
Wow. I don't know what she is, schizophrenic or what, but she is not physically.
No, you know what she is? She's in fucking jail.
Well, it's interesting. But it's interesting, Meg, you could pick up on that. So I will go look at that. Meg, call anytime. Very interesting talk to you. Appreciate the call, okay?
Oh, thanks
a
lot.
You take care.
You've been fun.
She is fun.
I mean, she's got a light sense about it, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point of view, which is, you know, a lot of psychiatric stuff is chronic. And you sort of, I mean, Adam and I joke about our low self-esteem all the time. You really can't change your self-esteem.
Wait, but I think it depends how much work you're able to do.
No, it turns out the research shows you really can't change esteem very much. You change how you feel about your esteem.
But you can. I mean, if you develop a different intelligence other than the quandary that you might be, the rut that you were stuck in youth.
Yes, the esteem has a different effect on you. Like for instance.
It's so mad. Yeah, it's in your bones.
Here's the bottom line as I think about it. Like somebody with high self-esteem, when something happens to them, they assume that something's wrong with the world because they're fine. Therefore, if something's happening, why, you know, it couldn't be me. I, on the other hand, have low self-esteem, so I take responsibility for everything. I assume everything is my response, my fault, because I have low self-esteem. And that's fine with me. That's okay. That's just a perspective. It's just
so you and Adam are in cahoots on the low self-esteem.
Yeah. Big time.
It's funny how it's transcended in you to how you behave. And the way he behaves versus his low self-esteem is flip side of the, turn off the fucking light, listen to me, da-da-da-ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, his thing is, even though I feel as shitty as I do about myself.
You suck more.
No, therefore, even I can succeed, so you need to listen, even I can succeed.
Right.
Which is why it becomes so vehement, so adamant for him. All right, Ray, it's been a pleasure as always.
Are we done?
We're done. Yeah, this is fun.
No, let's keep going.
No, we'll bring you Chris back and you back whenever you want. The people can't get enough of you that are part of the fans of the Corolla Pirate Ship.
I thank them.
Please don't
Roman slave ship.
Yeah, I know,
Let's ditch the pirate ship.
You and I. Don't forget to check out The Swingin' Sounds, which you're listening to. Also, The Boy with the Gun at Doctor.com. And please support the people that support the podcast. And I'll see you next time.
Corolla Digital.